So we'll talk more about this and we'll zero right in on tonight. In fact, let's do that now. Geelong and Collingwood at the Gabba, and there'd be 95,000 plus if we were at the G. It's not to be, as matters are in 2020. The General Manager of Football at the Pies is Jeff Walsh. Jeff, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks, Jared. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the week, if you would, an insight into the high of winning in the West and then the logistics of getting back and getting sorted and getting ready for the next.
Yeah, look, it was, as you say, it was a great feeling straight after the game, because I think obviously to win any cutthroat final is good, but under the circumstances over there, really hard to win. You're undefeated up until last week over there, and they're a good side, as we know anyway. So that was a really strong effort. The boys were really excited, and everyone was up and about after that. And then, of course, we got the 4.5-5 hour flight then back the next morning to the Sunshine Coast. Monday was a pretty light day. The boys just recovered and drew their breath, and then we gradually worked into the week, and we had a party of the 26 players involved in the squad came to Brisbane from the Sunshine Coast yesterday afternoon and spent the night in Brisbane. So it's a gradual build-up from the flight back on Sunday.
Why did you choose to travel yesterday, Walshy?
Well, we did that in the last game against Port Adelaide, because mostly when we played all our games here at the Gabba, and we've generally travelled up on the day earlier in the year, but We did change it up for the last game against Port Adelaide, and the boys, players really enjoyed it. They thought it was much more settling for them. So even though we didn't win that game, the boys thought it was a good, a better preparation. So we've gone with it again.
Well, Chef, a fair bit was made of the way how you moved the ball quicker last week than you maybe had more recently. Was that real in terms of planning, and is it something we can expect to see again tonight?
I hope so, because I think we do play better when we do, take a risk and get the ball moving, and particularly from our defensive mid area, and we were able to do that. I think at times during the year, one of our problems has been we've been a bit stodgy. We've had the extra handball, the extra, even the extra kick. Whereas last Saturday, we got through the ball pretty quickly. I'm not sure the stats would reflect it greatly, but I think just the feeling and the people's awareness or players' awareness of doing that probably helps the overall picture. And I think here at the Gabba too, it tends to be slippery. So I think the more times you handle the ball, the more opportunity you've got to butter it up.
the selection of Darcy Cameron last week caused a lot of discussion, both pre and certainly during and post. So was it always therefore going to be the same again this week? Do you think it was something that the team played better, or did you consider with a different opposition that you might go in a different manner?
I think match committee certainly, we discussed both of those options, but I think fairly obviously that Darcy Cameron played so well, I think it would have been mind-boggling to leave him out. And different ruck opposition this week probably won't play it as similar or as exactly the same as we did last week. But as I said, it would have been very, very difficult to leave Darcy out just because of the great form and the work rate and the endeavour that he showed against, even though we all can see that Nick Knapp was probably best on the ground, still, we think Darcy had an impact for us.
Good luck tonight, Walshy. Just Josh Dacos, I've been super impressed with the development of him as a player. And you get into a big final away from home, when it's really hot early in the game. He has the most possessions for Collingwood in the first quarter, 9 possessions. And, we know he's a quality user when he gets it. But, boy, oh, boy, he's really sort of settled into that team now.
Yeah, look, he's had a really strong year, Terry. There's no doubt, he's been one of the big improvers in the comp, I would have thought, because he certainly would hold that mantle in our club. His ball use. I think the other thing that's impressed the coaches is his ability to get up and down the ground now. He's building a tank. He's had probably three maybe four pre-seasons, three, at least three. So he's building a bit of a tank, and his ability to get back into the fence and then get forward when we and hunt the ball when we've got it to either lock it in or create an option is something that's really admirable, and he's worked hard on that.
How did you assess your mids last week? Because I thought early in the game when it was needed to be done, they were just so far superior to West Coast. But then you flip it around and you had so many goals actually scored from centre bounce through the game. How did you eventually sit back and assess that group?
Yeah, well, I think they're more than serviceable. You know, Taylor Adams has had a great year and you know, All-Australian, which is a great recognition for him. You know, I think Taylor was really strong again, you know, particularly his crashing in at the contest. You know, Levi on Tim Kelly did a great, I think, nullifying job, even though Tim Kelly had some pretty good influence at centre bounces and centre clearances. But other than that, I think Levi, when he did play his role in the midfield, did pretty well. I think overall, Kendall's were serviceable. I thought our mids were, they acquitted themselves pretty well.
Well, it's obviously quite the build-up to the final, so we'll just tidy up. Just one question around the trade scenario. Is not knowing the list numbers and not knowing the salary cap, is that holding up your capacity to finish deals that you're trying to?
It certainly becomes an inhibiting factor, Jared. There's no doubt about that. And I think clubs would say to the AFLPA and the AFL, look, we need to get that this organised because, we've got what now 10 clubs who are finished, and yet they still don't know, with any certainty how many they're going to have on their list, and how much money they're going to have to spend on their players. So it does inhibit trade discussions. It does inhibit listing and delisting discussions as well. So we are firing in the dark a little bit right now.
Are you held up on any of the more Mychek or De Goey deals by that scenario?
No, not particularly. No. But I would think that our list manager Ned Guy is probably taking an educated guess at what the overall figure's going to be. I think it's safe to say there is going to be some sort of reduction. What it is, as the weeks go by, it seems to be that figure is diminishing, so it might not be as much as we all thought. But I certainly know that Ned has got a couple of scenarios. And so it just then becomes a percentage of the deduction that's agreed by the player and the club off the original negotiation.
Should your fans feel nervy on any of those three fronts?
No, I wouldn't think so. I'd be very confident that those boys will all be signing and staying. We certainly want that to happen, and we've made all those noises towards them, and they've given us nothing back that would indicate otherwise. So, I think our fans and people could be happy that we'll retain those three boys.
Well, she appreciate your time. Good luck for tonight.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Good on you. Jeff Walsh there, the general manager of footy at Collingwood.
Sounded like he was at Luna Park.
Oh, yeah. It's up and
I was going to ask.
Got my sea legs.
Probably best. I'm told it will be 38 and a few rookies. But so it's certainly not as drastic as what it was. But I don't think there's any agreement being made on the money
the
yet.
Numbers, that's
which is obviously a big part of it. So
it's going to be pretty tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's been a little bit of murmurings that it has the potential of putting back the trade period. Do we know whether that's the case or not?
No, I don't think we do.
No.
I think we've heard the murmurings, but
just a sit and wait.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have to have a definitive figure.
Absolutely.
They can't just go in with a rough percentage.
Given that this is your area, Terry, do you think Collingwood supporters should be at all nervy on De Goey, Moore or Mychek?
Not the way that I'm reading it at the moment, but we know that changes very, very quickly, don't we?
You'd think with Mychek's the one that really interests me, because I think they'll get the other two done. But Mychek, clearly, who wouldn't have been wouldn't have been on much money up until now, and he is a mature Irish player.
Someone will court him, won't they?
Yeah, his chance to
court him hard
to earn a really big living out of it will be there from someone.
Yeah.
So does he? Is he tempted by that?
I think the other thing is what are Collingwood doing as well? Are they in the market for any of those other key forwards that are floating around? And will that have any effect on how much they'd be prepared to pay Majacek? We know the respect that Collingwood hold for Majacek. I mean, that's undoubted.
And
when you have Buck speak about him and what he's done for that that team with his work ethic.
He's a workhorse for them,
correct,
isn't he?
Correct.
Yeah. So, important cog.
So that's not a question. But if they're courting somebody else and it just becomes a money situation and somebody's courting him at big dollars, well, you're not going to be able to necessarily get what you want with locking the other two boys away, plus trying to bring somebody in, plus pay, you know, potentially overs for him.
He's the perfect fit for so many clubs. Everyone needs that key forward who can work up the ground and take contested marks. So it's pretty attractive for a lot of clubs.
Is he that player at every club? So he makes so much sense at Collingwood.
Mm.
Half of me does wonder if he does get plucked out and put somewhere else.
Well, not to be the number one forward.
No,
you have to already have that player or find that player from somewhere else, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's the workhorse, isn't he? He may be the number two, but he's best suited to be a number three, isn't he, really? But they are valuable. They are worth their weight in gold if you've got the stars to supplement it.
Who would be most likely, do you think? Who would?
Go after it?
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Melbourne.
Yeah.
But he'd suit Melbourne, no doubt. He'd suit Essendon. He'd still suit the Bulldogs. Yeah. I mean, I know they've gone still to the well, but it's not necessarily working
for them.
Didn't
work this year, did it? No. Whether they reshuffle, but it could be something they'd look at.
Well, I still think one of the four at GWS is gettable. I mean, we know we're all waiting on Cameron as the main one, but, you know, somebody like a Himmelberg who got dropped out of the side for the last week of the season, I just think, with what they've got there, they can't play four of them in that forward line. I just still think one of them may drop out somewhere along the line.
Finlayson signed, isn't he?
He's
committed.
Correct.
So I would have thought he might have been the vulnerable one.
Could still potentially be traded, I suppose, with a new deal, but it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Look, they're going to be really interesting, aren't they, as a trading strategy and what they do. Obviously, a fair bit rests on whether Jeremy Cameron stays or goes, and that will change the equation. But just their balance of the type of midfielders they've got, the future of a number of players, really interesting.
Yeah, fascinating.
The other piece of information that came late today from the AFL was the sanction for Tyson Stengel and Brad Crouch after they were found with an illicit substance by South Australian police. Stengel's been suspended for 4 matches in the new season and Brad Crouch for 2 games.
I found it really interesting that in that statement they made sure that they put in the AFL regardless of which club they are at next year. So it just sounds like they're just making sure they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's to make sure that if you do pick up Brad Crouch, he's got 2 weeks.
And a formal strike registered as well, so into the education program.
Do you think it'll have any impact on Brad Crouch's suitors or contract details?
I don't think the suspension will.
No.
I think the incident, absolutely. I think it potentially impacts his ability to earn going elsewhere. Well, either whether he stays or goes, I think he'll get a whack out of what has happened. And I think it has a potential, therefore, to impact what the compensation ends up being.
Yeah, you lose hand.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you buy yourself awkward conversations and you do lose a degree of targeting power.
Tough first day at school, isn't it?
Yeah.
Got a suspension hanging over your head for something like that. Just makes an awkward first day with a bit of an edge on it.
We are building up to the first semi-final at the Gabba tonight. It is Geelong and Collingwood. We've heard from Jeff Walsh. We'll touch base with the Cats shortly, and Nigel Lappin will join us. We've got Bob Murphy and Terry Wallace for this hour. Jared Waitley and Anthony Hudson to call it for you. So
just get to recess, Bob. Get to recess and we're through to lunch.
These two teams have played 5 finals in recent times. They've played a qualifying final, 3 preliminary finals, a grand final, and now they complete the set with a semi-final as well. So the main feast comes from the Gabba tonight. You'll hear it all on AFL Nation. This is the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Save at Beaumont's Mega Floor Tile event on now. And Identifiber, specialising in asbestos, mould, air quality and environmental services.